Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in just before Independence Day today, and it's a great man to have on this show to talk about different things like that is my brother, Carl Gallops. Carl, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Dr. David, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, you're telling me you're a talk show host. Tell us just about that just a little bit. That way everybody knows where they can hear.
Yeah. Okay, among many things, I'm an author, a 25-year senior pastor of a large Baptist church on the Gulf Coast, and a 10-year conservative talk radio host on a talk news talk radio channel, WEBY, out of Northwest Florida, 25,000-watt channel. I have a show called Ask the Preacher, which airs every Saturday and Sunday, and I have another show, my flagship talk show. It's called Freedom Friday with Carl Gallops. We stream live over the internet. We stream over cell phones. We podcast. The show is connected and marketed through the world famous and viral P.P. Simmons God and Country Biblical Apologetics YouTube channel, 23 million viewers and 21,000 subscribers. I founded that channel just a few years ago. It's gone crazy. And so we have tons of listeners all over the world, and we podcast, and that way our international listeners can be a part of the show as well.
Amen. Amen. So you've been pastoring for how many years again?
25 years, senior pastor in one church.
Wow, that is an accomplishment, man. Kudos to your brother.
Thank you. Well, I give praise to the Lord, and it's a special a miracle in a Baptist church.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's longevity. You know, I've been talking a lot this last couple of weeks. We had Marilyn Hickey on the show, a few other ministers that have been ministering for quite a long time, and that's just longevity, especially in just one church. That's amazing. You're a special man to do that. I'm just letting you know.
Thank you.
So tell us about Carl Gallops. I mean, it's you know, who are you? Yeah. You know, how did you come to the Lord? And just let the people know, because you know they want to know about you. They love the things you do, but they want to know the man.
Thank you. Well, I came to the Lord at the age of 17. I was raised in church by my family, and at the age of 17, made a personal commitment of my life to Jesus Christ, born again. Followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Shame to say, well, first of all, served him very powerfully for the next 3 or 4 years as a young man. Married my high school sweetheart. We started our life together. Got caught up in the things of the world, just busyness, going to school, working all the time. For 2 or 3 years, wandered away from the Lord and away from his house, shamefully. But I did come back to the Lord in my mid-20s, made a dynamic and dramatic recommitment of my life to Jesus Christ, stuck a stake in the ground, said, Lord, I'm back. I'm going to serve you with my life. I was serving in the field of Florida law enforcement. I have almost a 10-year career in that field, 6 years as a deputy sheriff and 2 or 3 years as a state correctional officer, 2 or 3 years in administration in the State Department of Corrections down here in Florida. But and during most of that time then, as I continued to mature, I served the Lord with my life, involved in church and teaching Sunday school and the Bible. But anyway, as time moved on, God just really began to put his hand of calling on me. My wife saw it. Many other people saw it, and finally surrendered to full-time ministry when I was about 30 years of age. Came to this church down here on the Gulf Coast. The name of it is Hickory Hammock Baptist Church. It's on a road called Hickory Hammock Road, a major thoroughfare to the beach down here. And I've been there for 25 years now, but in the midst of that, in those 25 years, I've been a newspaper columnist, writing a biblical newspaper article for about 15 of those years. Been a talk radio host on a secular channel, but the owner allows me and encourages me to speak of the things of God. So we reach just, you know, many, many, many thousands of people.
Amen.
That way. Oh, man, I've been involved in missions. I've preached to tens of thousands of people on 3 different continents, 4 or 5 different nations of the world in these years. Founded the P.P. Simmons YouTube channel. It went crazy, 23 million views, 21,000 subscribers. Wrote a book just a few months ago. It now is a #1 bestseller on Amazon, and it has been reviewed by the Washington Times with a rave review. I've been all over television and radio, coast to coast, because of what God has done with this book. And that's kind of who I am, an author, a pastor, a radio host, and an internet minister, and an evangelist and a missionary.
Wow, me and you have the same calling, brother.
Yeah, well, good.
That's exactly what I do. I go to missions in India and Africa, stuff like that, books and radio. Yeah. So, you know, God has us out there doing this, and you got to have a lot of energy. I trust you. I trust you do to get all
well,
that done.
Well, the Lord is, the Lord's given me a lot of energy. I'm blessed. I'm 56 years old and still have a good spring in my step and good health, and the Lord has really blessed me. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Tell us about The Magic Man in the Sky. I mean, that is a that's a beautiful title.
Yeah, well, it's a provocative title, and it was meant to be. The full title is The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith.
Amen.
Now, Magic Man in the Sky is big, and it's written right across the front. It's meant to get you to pick up the book, because a skeptic knows exactly what it means, an atheist, an evolutionist, because they have a devastating argument that they use against Christians that goes something like this. Dr. Dave, I would much rather believe in settled scientific fact than some magical man in the sky like you believe in. I don't believe in God for the same reason I don't believe in other fairy tales. So this is a devastating, debilitating argument if the Christian is not prepared to answer it. And, of course, the Bible tells us to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that is within us. So I took the words of that devastating argument and turned it around on the skeptic community, entitled my book, The Magic Man in the Sky. Really? Okay. Let's defend the Christian faith. So that's kind of where the title comes from. But the book's going crazy, and people are just loving it, and they're using it, and they're sharing it. They're taking it to their churches, and they're using
amen.
It in Bible studies and Sunday school. They're using it to witness to people. They're giving it to skeptics and atheists, and it's just been an amazing phenomenon. All praise to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, what made you put this book together?
Well, it comes out of my 25, 30 years of total ministry and all of my years of internet ministry and dealing with skeptics and debating with evolutionists and atheists. And I just thought it was time for a fresh apologetic work. And, of course, your listeners know apologetics doesn't mean we apologize for the Bible. It comes from a Greek word, as you and your listeners know, apologia, meaning to make a defense of. It's just, we live in such a secular world, and darkness is just booming in upon us. And I thought it was time for a fresh work that dealt with some of the freshest arguments and some of the freshest answers. My book is a sweeping apologetic dealing with dozens of topics, and it has a heavy dose of settled scientific fact using scientific method, heavy dose of solid logic, and a heavy, heavy dose of contextually interpreted scripture, so that the Christian can have something in their hand. It's filled with humor and fresh and unique illustrations. The Christian can have tools in their hands to get out there in that world and square their shoulders and share their faith effectively.
Mm. I mean, it sounds wonderful. Tell us about the first chapter. I hear it's very extremely and unique.
Yes, it is unique. The book, of course, is nonfiction. Of course, it's an apologetic work, and it's all about how to defend our faith. And I tear down the straw man arguments of the skeptics and atheists and evolutionists. And I deal with a lot of topics. But the first chapter, when you pick it up, God gave me this idea, and everybody comments on it, Dr. Dave. Everybody, because what happens when you open up the first chapter? It begins as a fictional, like a novel. You wind up, you're on a college campus, you're listening in on a conversation between two students. They're two men, Christopher and Crowley, and these two guys are friends, and they're in between classes, they're drinking a cup of coffee, and Christopher, who's a Christian, you get the name Christopher, the light bearer, the bearer of Jesus Christ, Christopher, he begins to share his faith with his skeptic atheist friend, and the atheist listens to him a few moments and then just unloads on this unsuspecting Christian and just hits him with a barrage of questions and attacks. And the Christian tries to answer. He tries to defend himself, but he winds up bumbling and stumbling over himself and giving some of the routine standard answers, and the atheist just destroys him. So by the end of the first chapter, the Christian is doubting his faith. And he's wondering, am I just merely praying to some magic man in the sky? And so what happens, Dr. Dave, is the believer who's picked the book up, well, they're really concerned now. They're wondering how I'm going to get out of all of that. So they, you know, it draws them into the rest of the book. And I've been told that each chapter draws you into the next, and I pray that that's so. People are really enjoying it. But for the skeptic who picks up the book, it has the same effect in that they realize that these are the same arguments that they use, and they have just witnessed in my first chapter one of their comrades destroy a Christian, and they're excited, but they realize that a pastor has written this book. So they know that what I'm going to do is to unravel that atheist arguments with the rest of the book, and so the skeptics are drawn into reading the book as well. And the answers that are given and my explanations are not just little trivial, trite answers, but they are, I believe, anointed by the Lord, and again, filled with humor and fresh illustrations and some pretty strong stuff. We're really impacting some lives with this book.
Amen. Now, what has been the negative response from those that just are against your message? I can imagine they've said some crazy things.
What has been the negative response? You mean from skeptics,
yeah,
from evolution?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dr. Dave, I'm going to tell you something. I almost hesitate to say this because, I'm not a superstitious person, but, you know, I almost don't want to invite it on me. My wife and I were talking about this last night. I had no idea you were going to ask me that question. I've got chill bumps on my arms. This book was pre-released 6 weeks before it was available for order. It shot to number one on Amazon charts before it was even shipped. Samples and chapters of the book were put out on the internet. Videos about the contents of the book were put out there. And people have been reading it. It's that long is what I'm telling you. The book has been released. It's been out on the market now for 7 weeks. I've been all over TV, all over radio. This book is going all over the world. And I'm going to tell you, thus far, not a single negative article has appeared against the book yet.
Amen.
Now I'm certain that they will come. I'm certain it will come. But it has been amazing. As long as this book has been available now, or at least chapters of it, and now, of course, the whole book, and as tough of a defense as it is, I mean, the Washington Times wrote a rave review, called it a must-read book, a powerful arsenal of ammunition to use against Christian bashers. I mean, the Washington Times. So I'm expecting that they're going to unload on me pretty soon, but the fact that it has taken them so long, I think, is indicative of the powerful way in which God has anointed this book. I think they're a little dumbfounded so far.
Yeah. Well, you captivated them with the title, that's for sure, and I'm sure that a few of them have picked it up, if not many of them, and, that's God's hand holding it back, just like he's done many times in the Word of God, held back the wrath of things, and
yes.
I believe it. We're going to keep believing on that for you, and
you
did some great marketing, because, we do books as well, and we really just a Christian publishing ministry that we have, and to get that to where you got it, that's God.
Well, it is, and let me just tell you, this whole thing is a God story, and I don't know, we don't have time for the whole thing, but I'll just tell you, I've been in the media, Christian media, for a long time, radio, newspapers, et cetera, preaching, missions, speaking, debating, but this is my first book, and I'm going to tell you, Dr. Dave, you know you're a publisher, a first-time author does not get his book picked up by a major publisher.
Oh, absolutely.
And if he does get it picked up by a major publisher, it does not go to number one before it's even released. And if he does get it to go to number one, it's not written up in the Washington Times. And, I can go down the list of all of the things that have happened to this book. And none of it should have happened. And it's so I believe, and everybody that's, really read it and understands it, they all agree that God just has his hand on this book. It's just, it's an amazing anointing of the Lord. All praise to the Lord.
That's amazing, because I've seen, have you been to like the International Christian Retail Show? Have you been to that place?
My publishers have. I have not, but my publishers do, and they will, and yes.
Okay, because when you go in there, can you know those pictures that you see on the wall that they're made up of a whole bunch of little dots? Then you got to figure out what the picture is inside.
Yeah.
That is how the ICRS is, and I'm not bashing them at all. I'm just saying there is such a sea of books there. It is hard to even get your book noticed. It's like every publisher tries to get there because they know they can promote the books and stuff. But you know what? And I looked at that last year, and I just talked to God when I was walking around the place. I go, God, it really has to be you. I mean, there's no plan. There's no philosophy. There's no formula. When God has a book to put out, it has to be you, God. And this is an example of one, because if you go into that place, you'd be amazed how many books are really in the market, and that's only representing about 10%, and that's just amazing. And for your book to get to where it's at, it's a God thing. It is.
It really is. And as I said, it's number one in two or three categories on Amazon, in science and religion, and another one in science, religious resources, and out of all of the books in the world that Amazon sells, which are just millions and millions and millions, it's been in the 2000s and 3000s. I mean, in the top 0.5% of all the books in the world. I mean, it's just
that's
been amazing.
Oh, absolutely, that is awesome.
Yeah. So I praise the Lord for it. He's using it. That's the deal.
Amen. And it's a needed subject. It's something that he wants to reach those that bash. He does. I mean, he loves them. He wants them to come to him. He wants to take the criticism, and he's a big God. He can handle all the criticism they can throw at him. But he wants to give them truth.
That's right.
And you know, it doesn't matter. And sometimes you get irritated when you see people talking bad and stuff. But you know what? God still loves that person. God wants to change him. But you know, the right medium has to come across to get them. For the Holy Spirit to operate, we have to get their attention.
That's right, Dr. Dave.
And this book is getting their attention. And you know, I think that's awesome. Hey, do me a favor. Send me one of your copies. This interview is set up real quick, and I'm like looking. I'm like, man, I'd love to read this one. So when you get a chance, just throw that in the mail to me. No rush on that. Now, what is your favorite chapter in this book?
My favorite chapter has got to be chapter 10. It's entitled A Tale of Two Dimensions. And I don't want to give it completely away because I want people to get the book. But in it, I give three or four unique, and by unique, I mean God gave them to me. I've never heard anyone else use them. Now, of course, now that my book's out there, there'll be a lot of people using it. they'll claim that it's theirs, but that's okay. I don't care. God gave the illustrations to me. I've been preaching and using them for years, and everywhere I go, people say, man, you've got to put that in a book. You've got to put that in a book. Well, anyway, so I did.
Good.
In chapter 10, I give three or four illustrations that definitively prove how two physical realities can exist side by side in the same dimension of reality, but one reality be totally unaware of the other one's existence. And by using these illustrations and making this this proof, it beautifully illustrates the biblical truth that God is real. He is a physical reality, and I'll use the word physical lightly because I know the Bible says God is spirit, but immediately in our mind we think of that being like a ghost-like, misty substance, but all that means is he is not in our realm, he is not in our dimension, but he is real, he is physical. When Jesus came out of the tomb alive, he was physical. Now he was in a glorified physical state, but he was real. He ate. He touched the disciples. He hugged them. He had a body. When he ascended into heaven, he ascended in a physical body. But Jesus came to tell us, look, the kingdom of God is all around you, but you can't see it. You don't have eyes to see. But it's real. It's not some little fat little angel playing a harp floating on a cloud. You know, that's Greek mythology.
Yes.
But the kingdom of God exists all around us, if you will. And I don't mean this in any New Age way. I mean in the absolute reality of the Word of God and the illustrations I use. Listen, quantum physics, modern quantum physics tells us that it is a scientific fact that various dimensions of reality exist. And so, you know, the Word of God is exciting. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth and the holy city Jerusalem coming down. And, you know, and no more pain, no more death, all things being made new. And so chapter 10 kind of explains how all of that can happen and how it is, and how we need not sit around and think of heaven as some little ghostly you know, numinous existence, but it's real, and it's worth everything we have to surrender our life to Jesus Christ in order to experience it for forever.
Amen. Amen. Well, while we got you on the phone, I'm going to ask you to give me some ideas on what's your worldview and then end time prophecy stuff. We've been having a lot of ministries coming through, and I've been asking them this question. I want you to answer it if you feel you could or you would like. And is the Bible prophecy taught enough in the churches today?
Do you know what? My book talks about this. That's amazing, because you said you've not been able to read it yet. So, no, my book talks about this. So let me just say, no, I think overall Bible prophecy is shied away from and is avoided by many pastors. I don't know if I started to use the word most. I don't have any statistics. But listen, I've been the senior pastor in a regional area for a quarter of a century, and you hear very little consistent prophetic teaching from the pulpits in the area where I am. But listen, Bible prophecy, I mean that's a huge chunk of Scripture.
It
speaks to who we are and what place in history where we are now, and it speaks to the future, and it speaks to the urgency of us sharing the message now. So I think it's a shame that more pastors are not involved in preaching the prophetic passages of Scripture. But the bottom line, people ask me all the time, well, do I think we're living in the end times? And, well, you know, the immediate smart aleck answer to that is of course we are. We've been living in the end times ever since Jesus ascended into heaven.
Amen.
But here are just a few. Let me just give you a few prophetic signs that prove that we're living in the time. Number one, the nation of Israel has been restored to its geographical boundaries. That happened in 1948, thus fulfilling a 2,500-year-old prophecy that speaks of the definite end times. Secondly, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, he said, when this gospel of the kingdom is being preached unto all the nations, then the end will come. We're the only generation, Dr. Dave, to see the nation of Israel come back in 2,500 years. Of 10,000 years of human history, we're the only generation, just in the last 20 years, to see the gospel actually being taken to the entire world through modern technology, internet, computer, cable television, satellite technology, missionaries getting on jet airplanes, going anywhere in the world in hours, books, movies, DVDs, CDs, electronic medium, radio. The gospel is going to the nations like never before in human history. Jesus said, when that comes, you're in the end times. Mm. And Ezekiel 38 speaks of when this restored geographical Israel is back in the land, that certain nations will begin to align themselves for the purpose of destroying Israel. And we are watching that happen right now. Nations that have never been allied before, Iran and Russia and Syria and Turkey, Egypt just fell, Libya just fell, Egypt just came under control of the Muslim Brotherhood, Libya's next. They're aligning themselves now, of all things, with Iran and Saudi Arabia, and Turkey is now, you know, went from somewhat of a democracy to a full-blown Muslim nation, aligning itself with these evil regimes, all for the purpose, the stated purpose, Dr. Dave, of destroying Israel, which is a direct fulfillment of Ezekiel 38. We're in the very beginning of Ezekiel 38 and 39 happening. So we're watching all of these prophecies just unfold before our eyes, and shame on the church. Shame on the church for not speaking light into the darkness.
Amen. Amen. So give me some of your world views of today. What's going on out there?
My world views?
Yeah, importance of world views. How is it important for Christians to be, you know, up to date with that and know what's
going
on?
Okay. Well, my second chapter of my book deals with this whole topic of the importance of world views. Again, without boring your listeners with dumping it all out there, but the bottom line is we all have a worldview. A worldview is a paradigm. It's a philosophy by which we operate our entire lives. My worldview and your worldview, we would call it a biblical worldview. That is, we measure everything through the Word of God. If somebody wants to ask me what I think about, you know, the radical homosexual agenda in America, I can speak to that. Not because I'm so smart, it's because I come from a biblical worldview and I know what God's Word says about it. If somebody asks me what I think about abortion, well, I can speak to that. Again, not because I'm so smart, but I know what the Word of God says, and I come from a biblical worldview. Everything we do, our life, who we marry, where we work, how we conduct ourselves, all comes through the filter of our worldview. Worldviews matter. When we put a man in the White House, his worldview matters, right?
Amen.
When we put congressmen in office, their worldviews matter. Because, see, some people have secular worldviews. That is, they just believe that we are a hodgepodge random accident that came through the process of evolution. Other people have religious worldviews. That is, they hold to a religion, but one that denies that Jesus is the Christ, like Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or New Age. Some people hug a tree or dance around the fire and beat tom-toms or get down on a prayer rug and kneel towards Mecca five times a day. You know, everybody has a worldview. And it's important that we understand this, and it's important that we know what our worldview is. My worldview is a biblical worldview, unashamedly.
And if I can ask you just one more question before we go, and I want you I want you to pray for our listeners as well. And why is there so much pain, suffering, and evil in the world if God is a loving God?
Yeah, well, that's the question of the ages, and I deal with that in my book. I have a whole chapter dedicated to that as well, Dr. Dave, and so many people ask that. I have a whole chapter, so I'm going to give my 30-second answer.
Oh, go ahead.
There are four or five different reasons why there's pain and suffering. Some pain and suffering we just bring upon ourselves. It's just stupid. I mean, we're just stupid. We are. Step out in moving traffic, you ride a bicycle in moving traffic, you're probably going to get hurt. You drink alcohol all your life, you shoot drugs in your veins all your life, you have illicit sex all of your life. You're bringing pain and suffering upon yourself. Don't blame God for that. Other pain and suffering is brought on us by the evil of other people. And sometimes it's just out of our control. Other pain and suffering is brought on us just by the circumstances of life. Bad things happen. The earth opens up and people fall in. Tornadoes come, hurricanes come, floods come. We live in a fallen creation. But the bottom line is, God does not bring pain and suffering, generally speaking, upon humanity. We have, generally speaking, brought it upon ourselves by our fallen sin nature. But God, the Bible says, is in the process of restoring not only man's sinful heart, but creation itself. And there will come a day when all things are made new. That's my quick answer. I know it's much deeper than that, and my book goes much deeper than that. But we often blame God for things that are lie within our realm of responsibility.
Amen. Well, pray for our listeners, Pastor.
Oh, I will. And so, Lord, I do lift up the listeners to Dr. Dave's program. Lord, those that are listening right now, I pray for a special blessing over them. I pray that you'd bless them and keep them always. I pray, Lord, for that skeptic that might be listening, that today would be the day of his salvation. I pray, Lord, for that prodigal that might be listening, that today would be the day that he or she returns to you. And I pray for the saint that's listening, that one that's just struggling every day to just live for you. I pray that today you have given them strength, that you have emboldened them, and that you have spoken sweetly in their heart, and you've spoken to them, and you've said that you have not given them a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I pray that today they will walk in that truth. And now, Lord, I lift this up to you. Lay it before your altar in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Carl, give us your websites and anywhere they can get your book and any other thing you want to give to us.
Yeah, the quickest way to find out everything about me, my radio show, how to get all the podcasts and tune in live, and all about my book and all about my ministry, and to watch our videos and to connect with our YouTube sites and Facebook sites and all of our social networking sites, the easiest way is just to go to carlgallups.com, GALLUPS, carlgallups.com. It's a clearinghouse website for everything. If you want to get my book, the quickest and easiest way is just jump on Amazon, put my name in, Carl Gallops. It'll pop up. It's a bestseller, so it's all over Amazon. You can just put Magic Man in the Sky and Google, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's the first 20 pages are all about it, so it's pretty easy to find. But at carlgallops.com, you'll see the picture of it. You'll see the links. Everything's right there, carlgallops.com.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for coming on the air. And if I'm ever in your side of the country there, I'm going to go and visit you.
Oh, please do. Dr. Dave, God bless you. You're a precious brother. Thank you for your graciousness in having me on today.
I appreciate it. Remember, send me a book. I'd love to read it.
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you. God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That was Mr. Carl Gallops, and we're very blessed to have him 25 years at the same church. That's an amazing man in itself. And his book, The Magic Man in the Sky, you can get that book at Amazon.com, put in Carl Gallops, and just plug in the Magic Man in the Sky. You might see Magic Johnson pop up because he's the Magic Man in basketball, but you'll be able to see Carl in this book, and it's a real nice title, real nice book itself, and hey, we that program went quick. You know, I notice when I get the guys that really can talk and have so much energy, we get these programs knocked out and we run out of time. Up next, we're going to have Mr. Michael Snow, and we're going to be having him in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for listening to the show, and give us a few minutes, and we'll be right back. God bless you.
This is David Yanez with Rev Media Network. Just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast the 30-minute programs, the Second Look at Sports, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. at 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing to see on the stats. We've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-second look at sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am, and just being an athlete, I love hearing these stars, these athletes, these coaches, people just talking about Jesus, just talking about the things that God is doing in their life. So it's a blessing to see this type of shows put together. I know there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of quality in it, because I tell you what, we've had over 745,000 people visit our site in the last month alone. And I believe that a part of that growth, and a big part of that growth, is the quality that these programs like a 60-second look at sports and a second look at sports have brought to our broadcasting station. So I want to tell you, Dr. Dwight Allen is doing a great, great job. We here at the station, we call him Coach just because of all the sports things that he does. And I tell you, he is a blessing to us, and it's a privilege to be broadcasting his programs, but also to be partnering with him in ministry and just seeing the people of God being touched. People all over the world are hearing these programs on our station, and I believe that they're just being blessed with it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen to a 60-second look at sports, a second look at sports throughout our broadcasting station at revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. I have a blessed day.
I hear a lot of well-established Christian youth professionals say that clothing and hairstyles aren't battles that parents need to be fighting. I have to respectfully take issue with that. Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a thought from Shepherd's Hill Farm. If you allow your teenage son or daughter to dress in a manner associated with occult practices, gang activity, sexual perversions, and any other activity that may be contrary to a biblical worldview, who do you think your child is going to attract as friends? If your teen's desire is to dress in a fashion that identifies himself with a group that is contrary to anything Christ-like, your problem may be deeper than clothing. Unless he has a genuine missionary motive, how a person adorns himself is an outward indicator of how that person perceives himself. Teens often deny that dress is significant. That's when they need to be asked why they spend so much time, energy, and money to look the way they do.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
There's a boom in doom and gloom nowadays. Doomsday prophets are a dime a dozen. from predicting floods due to ice cap melting to the end of the world scenarios. For centuries, they have one thing in common. They're all wrong. It's high time the public stopped being so gullible and harking to these big money false prophets. When Jesus said he was coming soon, and in that generation he proved himself a true prophet, when he came with the Roman armies 40 years later and destroyed Jerusalem, that was the sign of his coming and the end of the Old Testament age. Through that sign, every eye saw him coming to the Ancient of Days to receive his eternal kingdom. That fulfilled prophecy was also a sign of his final future coming. God's plan now is to convert the nations. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose.
I'm Peter Stanway of the Way Christian Ministries. Our purpose is to make disciples out of Christians. You know, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him, a perfect father-son relationship. And we can because of what Jesus has done for everyone at Calvary's cross. Because of His blood shed for you and me, we can come boldly into the presence of God. We can soak in His presence. We can come to His throne of grace, and we can speak to Him like our Father. He's waiting for you to come into His presence right now. Don't shrink back. Don't think that you can't, because you can. Get to heaven today, meet with God, receive His love, and then go about doing His will on earth as it is in heaven. To find out more, visit thewaycm.com. Thank you.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency, but you can make a difference because prayer changes things. Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at americaforjesus2012.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And we are excited that we have someone that's very dear to my heart, that is part of this ministry and part of what we do. We've known each other for years, and he would tell you the same thing. When I'm in need, he's always a blessing, and when he's in need, I'm always, it's kind of like we're imbalanced at times, because sometimes when there's abundance in one camp, the other camp has need, and there's always blessings going back and forth. And we've known each other for a while. In fact, we helped him with his paperwork to get his church started, and he's an amazing man, and he's actually my cousin. He's married to my cousin, but he's just my cousin. We just call him that. And anyway, Pastor Mike Snow. Say hi to everybody, Pastor Mike. We're going to have him turn on in just a second. I got to turn on the power for that one. I think it's on now. Go ahead, brother.
Well, hello, Dr. Davis. Such a pleasure to be here.
In just a sec. I always forget when I have people. I do so many interviews with the people outside the studio, and then now that we're in the studio, we can hear you now.
All right. There we go. Hey, Dr. David, it's such a great privilege for me to be here. I know that we are related by marriage, but I'm honored to see, be called one of your friends as well in ministry, just the things that you're doing for the Lord, your vision, your passion. Every time I'm around you, I'm really inspired to dream bigger and to put my excuses aside and to go for it. You know, iron sharpens iron, and every time I hang out with you, Dr. Yanez, just my spirit, man, it leaps. My faith leaps up with inside of me and just gets so encouraged and to dream bigger. And so, man, I just want to tell everybody who's listening, I just want to honor you for all that you've done to help. I know we started a church, but we really started an inner city ministry. Outreach.
Absolutely.
We are an outreach ministry who pastor.
Amen.
So, without your praying support and helping us out, we wouldn't be where we are today. And, man, you've just been a blessing to us. And I know that God is going to send waves of favor over your life because of the seeds that you've sown, time, energy, talent, finances, and what you've poured into me that I could pour into children and teenagers in the inner city of Houston and around the world, which is the my next goal as well. So, you know, I just want to tell them how much I love you and appreciate your ministry and your family. And thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, you're a blessing to us, and when we started with that, I remember we were putting your paperwork together, and this was years ago. I'm talking years ago. You're like, well, because it's like, are you starting a church? And during the paperwork, are you starting a church? Or are you starting? What do you start? And tell them the full title of your ministry.
Well, it's Lighthouse International Outreach Ministry Incorporated.
And I like, Mike, now that seems a bit long for a church, and your heart was there. Your heart was there, and you said, you know, I just don't want to be a church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. There's just so much more. I mean, we do a youth center. We do Bible college. We just now. So we're moving more than just having church or like with a normal church. If we're not normal church, you know, we just don't do normal church. Mm. We do in-your-face dangerous church.
Tell us about this. I mean, because there's a lot of churches out there that are in the suburbs, and some of them may even be in the inner city, but you're finding some effective ways to reach in kids. Tell us about that. Tell us about the miracle and just, I mean, last year, I think it was year before last, probably 2 years ago, you got your building. And yeah. Tell us about that miracle and just how that happened.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with that. You know, I'm a believer in faith. I believe in the giving and giving a seed. And we were desperate for a new building. We had outgrown our current facility. We started our youth center. We do a skate park, taekwondo, breakdancing. Right now we have a graffiti class. We do basketball camp. We do arts and crafts for the kids. We feed the children. We clothe them. We just started a clothing store inside of our ministry that has like new or brand new clothes.
Amen.
So the kids come in. The children that we minister, youth that we minister, are poor. Their mom's on dope. Their dads are in prison if they even know who their father is. And they are neglected. Mm. They'll come in to a skateboard class wearing flip-flops.
Wow.
And that's the only pair of shoes they own. And they're too small for them. And so we feed them, we clothe them, we adopt them as best we can without taking them home. And so we were at that place where we had about 400 students registered to our after-school and summer program.
That is nice.
One of the largest in the city. And we were doing that for the fact to we just got to the place we've outgrown our facility, and we just needed a new building. And our current facility that we had, it was about 4,000 square feet, maybe 5. And I went and planted a seed. We were saving some money to try to get a build to buy a property. I went and saw a property that was close by. We're in the inner city, but the properties cost millions of dollars for just a nasty piece of land and building. And so I went to a place. I saw another church was for sale in the neighborhood, and I went and asked for it. But when I walked in the door to meet the pastor, it was a lady pastor of a Spanish church, and I asked about the facility. She says, well, I'm trying to buy it. And instantaneously, I recognized the moment. And God said, I want you to plant all the money that you have saved, give it to this ministry that she can buy this property.
Amen. Amen.
And so I did that. I went told my wife what the Lord had spoken. We wrote the check, went and dropped it off to her, freaked her completely out. And then 2 days later, I was driving down where our current facility is. I've tried to get into that building for 6 years. 6 years, I could never get anyone to come to the door. There was no sign. There's no church sign. There's no church label. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, says, I want you to go right now. And I went right there. I knocked at the door, and there was a lady cleaning the inside of the church. And she said, I'm never on this side of the building. What am I doing here? And so what the coolest thing happened, she's within a matter of 15 minutes, I had met the pastor because they used to have an old school that's 20,000 square foot building.
Yes.
For about $500 more a month, I moved from a 4,000 square foot building to a 20,000 square foot building because I released that seed, and it was just a miracle. Mm. I mean, I'm still not even finished remodeling it. It was in horrible condition, but you know, I'm a dreamer and a visionary, and we have a weight room in there. We have just a huge breakdance room. We have huge classrooms for our children's ministries and commercial kitchen. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The possibilities that this building has had and has. We've done showers in it for when we need to shower people. Homeless people come. Different people need to come shower. When we have people come to intern and volunteer, we can house them now. We can feed them. We can shower them. All those things. Just because we released that seed, you know, and the principle that my wife and I live by, if it's not enough to meet my need, then it must be a seed. And we've always given out of our need, and it creates, God gives a miracle back. And so what we did for that other lady, that other pastor, that Spanish church, God did for us, I'm talking about within a week from me releasing that seed and giving her that check, and it's blowing their minds. She's like, why are you doing this? I said, well, God told me to, and I'm not trying to be selfish, but also I'm planting a seed into you because I need a harvest bigger than what this seed is. And so that's just a miracle that God did. And
amen.
It's just been amazing. The number of children that we can safely now minister to, and teenagers, safely, because we had the facility to house them, to minister them properly, to feed them before we didn't have a kitchen. I mean, it's just been just a wonderful blessing. It's taken our ministry to a whole new level of as our passion is to reach the children and the teenagers and save them from the drugs, the gangs, the crack, the violence that's on the streets of Houston, Texas. And so just real excited to what God's doing.
Amen.
All glory to Him.
So how many kids can you facilitate in that?
We can facilitate at one time 800 children and teenagers in our facility.
Wow. That's amazing.
If I had the
volunteer
staff.
Yeah.
You know, we currently have to limit it to about 100 kids at a time every time we open due to the fact of the necessity of volunteers. You know, we're not able to pay. I mean, we're just...
I understand.
And in that big of a crowd, we'll have a big crowds, but we kind of narrowed it down to do more one-on-one, really just pouring in a lot of mentorship going on right now over the summer.
Okay.
So we kind of have we have about five classes going on. Every class has 12 students, and they duplicate the class. Every class that we offer is offered for 2 hours. So we have a beginner's level of everything, and then we have an advanced level. So skateboarding, free boards, free helmets, free pads. We have the beginner level that I take 12 kids and train them how to skateboard and mentor them, and then I have the advanced class. So I'll teach twice, up to 12 students. And so every classroom does that. And so we're able to, just for the summertime, we're trying this out. It's been working wonderfully, and so we're just real excited about that.
So you have the clothing thing there as well?
Yes, we just now on Sunday, we've had clothes, we've been giving it to them, but on Sunday we converted half of the weight room into a clothing store. We have racks, we have clothes, we have shoes.
Okay.
And so when we see a child in need, we just take them. Not to embarrass them,
yeah.
We pull them in there and say, go ahead and pick you some clothes, get you some new shoes. We give it to them a bag, and they're all nice, like brand new stuff.
Nice.
And then they get to go home with a new outfit. And most of these kids don't get a new outfit even once a year.
Okay. And so that's a blessing.
So just amazing. So we're really, really ramping up on that store. I'm trying to partner with some people to get some
new stuff.
Because
that's
nice. I could in the neighborhood, there's probably about 3,000 children and teenagers who need clothes.
Wow!
And so right now we're just working inside of our youth facility and our youth center, and then there'll be a day to where we'll be able to branch out and really be able to help, because you know the children didn't decide where they're going to be born. They didn't decide who their mom and dad were going to be. They didn't choose their mom and dad to be addicted to crack cocaine or heroin. Our speed, or so we just have such a passion to give our lives to rescue them.
Absolutely. Now, can you take any size clothes?
Yeah, we take everything because our youth center handles from 5 years old to 18 years old. So we have all sizes of children. So we take we're trying to get brand new if we can with the tags on it, or like new as possible. So
okay.
If it doesn't look like new, maybe, some people that God's really blessed them, they might have bought five pairs of shoes and they only wore them one time and they're just still clean and they're not worn out and they don't smell. You know, we really want to honor these children and these teenagers and give them the best. And we want to show them the love of Jesus by showing them that when you're in the kingdom and you're living for Him, God will take care of you and give you the best. And so that's our dream is to do that, and also to spread these youth centers out. My goal is to have 12 of them throughout the city. Okay. Anywhere there's an inner city, urban area, or at-risk children, just that's where we're going to plant these youth centers. And so this is our first one, kind of our prototype. But
it's a big one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at everything that you do, talk about the Transformation Center.
Yeah, Transformation Youth Center is the youth center. And we're usually open twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. And then so we feed the children during those times. I'm calling them all children, but 18 and down.
Yeah.
And then we have a skateboard park that's free. Free helmets, free boards, free pads. We do break dancing. We do taekwondo seasonally. Graffiti class. We have a professional graffiti artist who comes in and teaches, and he wants to teach all year. He just started, but he loves it so much. He's like, man, I don't want to stop. I want to teach all year round. And so basically we just found people with talents and gifts. I was an old skateboarder, so I teach skateboarding. I have a brother-in-law who's a professional dancer who just loves to teach dance, so he comes and volunteers. We have a lady at the church who volunteers and does arts and crafts, which I thought wouldn't be a popular class, but, man, it's one of the largest classes we have.
I mean, you'd be surprised.
They want to glue stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
Popsicle. Man, they're just having such a wonderful time. And then, you know, and from there, we rotate. We'll do things like guitar class. We have, like, right now, Wednesdays, so we'll do teach instrument guitars. So it just depends on who we have to volunteer their time. People, you know, I try to let people volunteer only for 8 weeks, do an 8-week class.
Yeah.
And then take a break because not everyone's crazy like me and can give all their whole life. But they want to give part of their life. They want to, you know, help make kings. If I can't be a king, I can make a king.
Well, there's very few people like you and me, Snowman. I call him Snowman because his name's Michael Snow, and I have another cousin-in-law named Mike as well. So he's always been called Snow.
You call me the Snowman.
And there's very few people that have the energy, but also the sacrifice that this is all I do. This is, you know, a lot of people that want to do ministry, and you see this in the music movement, and you see this sometimes in the dance movement, that they want to get paid.
Everybody wants to get paid.
Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're just doing it and you trust God for your needs,
right,
and the people that you're blessing are not your source, but God is your source.
Amen.
And when you get that concept, your ministry will go further, and the things that you do are going to be more blessed because you're doing it because you're there to be a blessing, not to be blessed.
Amen. And this is the key. I would say this is the key to success. I'm called.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not a career choice. You don't sign up to be a pastor or an evangelist, or you're not doing it as a career. Oh, if this doesn't work out, I'll go into sales. No, I was called by God as a teenager to reach the inner cities of America. And so when you're called, you can't leave.
That's true.
Whether there's money or not money or however, I mean, I'm not in this to get rich on earth. I'm in this to populate heaven.
Absolutely.
You know, and so what keeps me going when we don't have the finance, what keeps me going when we need and we're in lack and, you know, we don't have, is because God called me.
Amen.
And that calling is what keeps me where I'm at. And he always comes through. It may not be when I want it, but I'll tell you what, God will come through when you need it.
Amen. Give us your website so they can know how to contact you.
Yeah. The church website is lighthousehouston.net. That's www.lighthousehoustonaltogether.net. And the youth center is transformationyouthcenter.com. And we're also on Facebook. You can look us up on Facebook as well. And then, so those are the two main websites we have.
And then if they want to support you, how can they do that?
Yeah, if they want to support, they can just log on to either lighthousehouston.net or transformationyouthcenter.com, and there's a donate. You click donate, and right through PayPal, you can support us online. And we have that's probably the fastest and the easiest way.
And those that want to use snail mail and send your gift just the old-fashioned way through a check and through the mail, how
do they do that? It's on the website, but 1403 Wrightwood Street, Houston, Texas, 77009. It's better to get the mail at that location.
Absolutely.
So that's our mailing address. The physical address is a different one, but the mailing address is 1403 Wrightwood Street, Houston, Texas, 77009. And so if you want to get involved and partner with us,
Absolutely. I think everybody needs to sow seeds into the inner city. And you can just write Lighthouse International on that, and that'll be fine.
Lighthouse, TYC, either one.
Okay, yeah, that will work. Well, brother, we got like 5 minutes left. Give us a five-minute whatever.
I'm gonna give you a five-minute thought to chew on.
Absolutely.
If I can. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking to someone to devour. And I want to just say, if you've ever had a rough childhood, man, I was molested, I was drinking alcohol, looking at pornography, saw my mom try to kill herself. I had a rough life when I was a baby. And I said, God, it's not fair. Why did all these things happen to me? And he brought me to this passage and said that you have an adversary. You have a devil. He hates you. He wants you dead. And he sees the potential in you more than you see in yourself. And so, and I want to just encourage those out here who are going through a hard time. So why do I have to go through this divorce? Why did I have to go through all these hard times? It's because the devil knows that when what you can be when you grow up for God, when you grow in the faith,
amen.
He knows that if he can kill you, if he can maim you when you're young, that he can take you out for the rest of your life. And I just want to encourage those out there, man, you've got to know that you have a devil. He's real. He's trying to tear down your destiny. And you've got to be on your guard, and you've got to be ready. You know, there's a story, I believe, in the Judges, talks about these left-handed warriors, 700 left-handed warriors. Why were they left-handed? Well, they were right-handed. What happened? They got hurt in battle. And the Hebrew army lets you do two things if you got hurt. You can either go home or you can stay and fight. Well, these guys decided to stay and fight. And so what did they do? They trained their left hands such a great way that they could sling a rock and hit a horsehair 50 yards away. It said they slung a rock and they could hit a hair's breadth. What does that tell you? That means that when they realized, just because I got maimed by the enemy, this didn't cause me to lose my fight. And I want to encourage people out there not to lose your fight. If the devil has attacked you in one area, you still got something good inside of you. God is not done with you yet. God says in the Bible, strengthen that which is remained. I want to tell you, strengthen that which is remains in you and use that for God. These guys that were wounded as right-handed were actually better warriors left-handed than they ever were right-handed. And
amen.
Though you're going through a hard time right now, know that this season will pass, and God is with you, and God is going to see you through it, because he says he put himself inside of you. And I'm going to tell you this last thing. Do you know nowhere in the Bible does it say God has an adversary? God does not have an adversary. Why? Because there's no one equal to his power. There is no worthy opponent to God. When Satan tried, he just thumped them out of heaven like lightning. Instantaneously, like a flash, he was gone. And I would say, in that God lives and dwells inside of you. And though you've been maimed, shake yourself off, dust yourself up, get your praise back, make your decision. I am going to strengthen that which remains inside of me and do something great for God and start living dangerous again for Jesus. God wants his people living dangerous. He wants his people out there on the front lines. Man, Jesus was always being attacked. He was always being thrown out of places. He was always trying to be stoned and killed. So was Paul. When you get on fire with God, you know you're in the crosshairs of the enemy, but you are going to win, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And I would tell you, you can get over any depression, any hardship, any abuse, any sexual abuse, whatever you have faced that has got you down, shake that off. Look what God has left in the inside of you, and use that as your fuel to strike back at the enemy and build his kingdom.
Amen. Brother, pray for everyone out there right now.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to pray for your people. I pray for those who are discouraged and still have the questions, why? Why was my daddy left me? Why does no one love me? Why was I rejected? All the questions of why would be answered, that there is an adversary. It wants to steal, kill, and destroy them. But you have come to give them life and abundantly according to John 10:10, and I release an anointing inside of them, Lord, to strengthen that which remains, God, and begin to hone their warrior skills and rise up today and stop being defeated and fight. Get their fight back. Get their passion for you back. Get their passion to live to their fullest and in their destiny. And we release it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Now, that's Pastor Mike Snow. You can listen to him online here on Rev Media Network. What time's your service time, Pastor?
11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Central Standard Time. I believe we turn it right about 12. I'm not sure. About 11, okay. 11 or 12, click on, and we'll be
yeah, so the word. Yeah, so 12 o'clock. The 12 o'clock Central Time?
Central Time.
So that's the time the preaching starts, and I tell you what, you're not going to find a man with more passion in his preaching. I've had several ministers that preach, and there's not knocking any one of them, but this guy, the same way you heard him just talking to you in those 5 minutes, it's the same way. He'll go for an hour. Easy, simply, just like that, with the passion of God just in him. And any last words you want to tell anyone before we
Hey,
close?
Once again, just wanted to just thank you, Reverend. You know, we just appreciate you, all your ministry and all that you do, reaching the nations of the world with the gospel and helping ministers, man. It's just an honor, again, to be on the show and to speak with all your listeners who just love you and support this ministry. And I just want to tell them, encourage them, hey, they need to, you know, those who listen, love your show, need to get involved with your ministry and support you financially. You know, there's some can give, some can go, some can do both. And if they can't go, you're going around the nations of the world helping orphans, children, inner city kids, all doing all kinds of great works. And I just want to encourage them to make sure they're putting they're getting fed here from you. Go ahead and drop that seed and be a support and get that harvest of souls in these last day of times right here from Rev Media.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that. And if you do want to contribute, you can do it on RevMediaNetwork.com. There is a donate button there. Or you can mail us at Rev Media Network, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Thank my guest, Carl Gallups, here early in the first segment, and Pastor Mike Snow, my cousin who just visited and has a great testimony. And we're out of time, but we're going to have him back again very soon. Thanks again, Pastor, for coming by.
It's great being here. God bless.
Amen. All right. We'll catch you next time. You have a great 4th of July. I'm going to be out the next couple of days, be back next week, and we'll start from there again. We have some great interviews lined up. God bless you, my friend, just on our road to the ICRS in the middle of this month. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.